If you have your Bible with you, there are two places that we're going to be reading from. The first one is in the book of the Philippian letter, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start with the fifth verse. Philippians chapter 4. This was written in chapter 4 and starting with the first verse. This was written about the time that the Apostle Paul was in prison. They don't know whether it was the first or the second imprisonment. But during this time, he spent some time having been persecuted in jail or in prison. And you can imagine that a person being in prison like that, trying to do the will of God, you can imagine that human nature would say, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this coming about? Why am I being in prison? But you're not going to find anything about that in this particular letter. In fact, the verse of scripture above where that we're going to read says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Paul had such a zeal, such a drive. He was 24/7, 365 days out of the year. Christ Jesus was his mission and preaching it unto as many as he could go to. So we're going to start with the fifth verse of this same chapter, the fourth chapter of the book of the Philippians. Looking at the fifth verse, we find these words. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, going on down a little bit further into the eighth verse of this fourth chapter of Philippians, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, he said, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul, in another instance, says, I've learned in whatsoever state that I am in, therewith to be content. He said, I know how to be abased. He said, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, he said, that I know how to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. And then he sums this up, and I think it's a lesson to us today. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, not to wear your patience out, but we want you to look at the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. One of the first letters and epistles that he wrote. He wasn't in prison at this time. But you're going to find that what he says in this first epistle is going to be pretty much the same as he said in Philippians whenever that he was in prison. He said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Like I said, if you notice, this epistle, Thessalonians, is going to be almost parallel to what we've read in Philippians towards the close of his ministry. You know, whenever that you read about what the Apostle Paul went through, you know, he said, I've been shipwrecked. He said, I've been beaten. He said, I've been stoned. He said, I've been driven out of cities. Yet he said, I've done it all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our thought will be upon having an attitude of gratitude and how that it can affect your altitude, that is, your walk with God. You know, it's pretty easy as we get into the holiday seasons. And I'm not against holidays whatsoever. I'm all for them. Whenever they're in their proper place and they're observed the way that they're supposed to be. You know, whenever that it's done that way, in that spirit, it's fine. But sometimes it'll grab a hold of us. We've got a deadline to meet. We've got to be at this gathering together. We've got to go to grandma's house and then over here to this grandma's house. And you know, sometimes there's conflicting schedules. And then it becomes a toss-up. Now, where do we go? Now, I'm not against holidays, but it sometimes comes out to be the most stressful time of the year for us. And you know, I don't think that God would have that for us. He wants us to remember some things. He wants us to take time to be grateful, to have gratitude towards God and towards what He has done and how that He's blessed us. And I think that the greatest gift, the greatest thing that we can be grateful for is the fact that God gave us His Son. And not only He gave us His Son, but also that His Son gave Himself to redeem us, amen, to save us, to make it possible that we could be called the children of God. That's the greatest gift. Nothing else could have been done. Whenever that it was decided upon and convened in heaven, of how do we redeem mankind? What are we going to do to redeem mankind? Nothing else could be done. There was no amount of deliberation with God and the Holy Trinity where that they get together and say, well, let's just kind of erase it all and start all over again. No. He was going to bring about something that would be a blessing unto mankind and would glorify Him at the same time. And that's the kind of God that we serve today. Nothing catches Him off guard. What Adam did not sway Him whatsoever. This was part of the plan. And the Bible tells us over in one place, it says that he thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What do you mean unspeakable, preacher? Indescribable. Beyond description, beyond even understanding. How can we comprehend that the holy God above that holds this universe together with the word of His power? How can we comprehend that He would love us so much and want us so much to be redeemed that He would give His only begotten Son? What manner of love that the Son had, that He was willing to lay down His life, to give His life's blood, to redeem us from sin. And you know, it behooves us to remember, and we find over in Hebrews where that it says, by His own blood, He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Greatest thing that happened in this world is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people that have experienced that redemption, people that have experienced that salvation, that newness of life that He gives us, may we be forevermore grateful. And I believe that ought to be the very top, the very pinnacle of what we're thankful unto God for in this season. But I believe after that, after that we're grateful to God for what He has done through Christ Jesus, it behooves us today that we think about how that we can continue to be grateful unto God. And whenever that we read some of these things in your hearing out of Thessalonians, you'll notice whenever that Paul says these things, like rejoice, pray, give glory to God, thank God, he doesn't say it as, well, everybody, you know, here's kind of a suggestion when you gather around your table, you might give God a thought, and you might just, if you want to sing a song or whatever. But he doesn't say that. He gives it as a command, as an imperative. And as Paul sets himself as an example to follow, may we follow that also. He said, rejoice evermore. In other words, rejoice always. Do you rejoice today? Do you look up towards the heavens, or how you look towards God? Do you stop and think about, dear God, I give you all honor and glory? And you may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but God doesn't listen for how perfect notes are. That's fine and that's great if you can do it. But what He looks for is that that comes from the depths of our heart and of our soul. Total gratitude unto Him. Total immersion into prayer. Have you ever been so caught up in prayer unto God? Thanking Him for what He has done, thanking Him that you have another breath of life, thanking Him today that you made it home from church, that the preacher wasn't trying to make up time from last Sunday. And some people will probably say, man, I hope, oh Lord, I hope He doesn't try to make up time. But nevertheless, rejoicing and thanking God for what He has done. There was a writer back in, I believe, the 18th century, 19th century, by the name of Samuel Johnson, wrote many great works in Great Britain, and he penned this down one time. He was watching an execution. Back then, executions were not done behind a prison wall. But it was done on a gallows, right there in the public. It was on the town square. And this individual was an accused criminal, a thief, a murderer. And as he watched him walk up, they say there's 13 steps up to the gallows. As he walked up those 13 steps, and as Samuel Johnson watched it, now some people would probably say, well, he's getting what he deserves. We're thankful that we're gonna just hang him here in a little bit. But not so Samuel Johnson. He said, as he looked, but for the grace of God, there go I. And that's the difference, my friend, between us and between those, my friend, that we might find that are outside of the law, so to speak, or are decrepit, or whatever the case might be. But you know, today, my friend, He gives us a commandment. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you know, there is something that happens whenever that you do that. And you know, sometimes it takes us a long time to get to that point, to get to that place to where that we can truly do it with all of our heart. Because Satan will try to crowd our minds with, well, what have you got to rejoice about? This is happening. That's happening. God is forsaking you. And I'll tell you, every excuse to rejoice and thank God, Satan will give you and feed into you. You know, you don't have this. This has happened. This didn't turn out the way that I wanted it. The country's going down the hole. My friend, He'll give you everything. And before you know it, you're giving rejoicing unto Satan. You get what I mean by that? Sometimes we wind up giving glory unto Satan because we become of such a heart that now we're no longer thanking God and praising God and uplifting God in what he has done for us, but we're giving credence unto the world and the evil that it has embraced. And I want you to realize today, I'm not saying we can live in a Pollyanna world where that, you know, it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, nothing against Mr. Roger, but the trolley keeps going and so on and so forth. But my friend, I want you to know that even in the midst of discontent, even in the midst of problems, troubles, wars, you know, things abounding on every hand, inflation, this and that and the other, we can thank God like Paul did whenever that he was in prison. There is power in showing gratitude unto God and doing it from the heart. The Bible tells us over in one place that, again, we are to rejoice always. We are to pray always. We are to give thanks always. In fact, we're to resolve ourselves to the fact that no matter what is going on, I'm going to thank you, dear God, for what you've done and what you are doing. Now, I'll probably drive home, and I got to be careful when I say this. We might have a flat tire, and I'll forget to thank God for the flat tire. But you know, that's what it boils down to. Thank God for the flat tire. Thank God for the buggy that's ahead of me. Because maybe God was protecting me from something that was going to take place further down the road. Do you know that He watches over you? Do you know that you are the apple of His eye? You are His favorite today? And I don't say this rhetorically, but every time I get up here, I look out into this congregation, and I thank God that I have the privilege of standing before the redeemed, those that have the blood of Christ applied under their heart and under their soul. I count it a privilege to be here today. But we find that there is power in that. And you know, whenever that they talk about power in our attitude of gratitude, you know, there's something that comes out of that. That's peace. Not as the world gives, Jesus said in one place, "My peace I give unto you." Christ had peace in his heart when he went to the cross. The disciples had peace when they went out in the world and they were persecuted. They were burned at the stake. They were stoned. They were imprisoned. And like the Apostle Paul, beheaded over in Rome, yet he had peace in his heart with God. And it's a peace that's not like the world. The world can't give peace. And someone will say today, well, you know, peace is the absence of conflict. No, it isn't. Peace is having peace in your heart and peace with God today. And knowing God will be with you. And there is power in that today. The Greek word for peace is called Irene. And what it is, it's a word picture of how that there are three or more cords, but usually three, that are wrapped and entwined together. And you know, you can't break that. But think about it today. As a child of God, God has entwined you into that cord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that peace and the power of God, my friend, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. My friend, because it comes from Almighty God. You know, our attitude and gratitude changes us in the way that we look things. And how that we perceive things and how that we approach things and what we think of it today. You read over in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts where that this epistle was based upon. You know, today, whenever that Paul went into the city of Philippi, he was able to preach unto some. And they heard, they repented, and they believed. But you know, there was an incident. I'm kind of going back a little bit, the basis of this. There was an incident that took place in which that there was a diviner, that is one that spoke so-called prophecy. There was a young lady, and she had those masters that she served, and she kept following them around and following them around and following them around, proclaiming, "These men are servants of the Most High God." Do you know today Satan will mock God's work? And you know, he doesn't need demons out of hell giving honor and glory to them, to him. I'll tell you, the one that he receives the honor and glory from are those that have been saved by his grace, that are his children, that have been to the cross, that have had that blood applied into the heart. But nevertheless, Paul wearied of it. I can imagine probably two or three times of this, and Paul just about had it right up to here. But he turned to that young lady, and he knew that she was bound in evil. And he said, "I adjure thee, in the name of the name of Jesus Christ, come ye out of her." And he cast a demon out of her. And I'll tell you, those people that owned her or used her, boy, their business dried up in a jiffy. And you think they were happy with Paul over it? Boy, they didn't give him a medal. They brought him to the magistrates, and they said, "This man teaches," and he wasn't teaching anything contrary unto what Rome dictated, but they said, "He's teaching that is contrary unto the government of Rome, of the laws of Rome." And right there on the street, they stripped him and Silas of their garments, and they beat them and threw them into jail. Now, you talk about wanting to get depressed about something and wanting to give up, that would do it. But you know, as Paul and Silas were sitting in that jail, that prison, in the dankness, and on the, you know, no telling what kind of creatures were running around in it. And I'm not talking about a bunny rabbit or a squirrel or a puppy dog. I'm talking about roaches and rats and spiders and so on and so forth. But you know what they did? They began to sing. They began to sing praises unto God. They began to rejoice. I would have loved to have been there and heard all that. And moving along, I want you to know that God honors whenever that we give honor and glory and praise, and we pray unto Him and we preach to His honor and glory. And I want you to know God inhabits the praises of His people. He does. Whenever that we sing in our congregation, my friend, I want you to know God's in the midst of it. You might say, "I didn't know that." Oh, yes, He is. Why do you think that David sang so much? Nevertheless, the very foundations of that prison were brought to the ground, and the shackles fell off. And you know, my point in all of this, describing all of this, Paul did not see that as an opportunity to escape. He did not moan about his situation, but he was thankful that what he did had an effect upon somebody who was listening. And that was the Philippian jailer. And you know, he was about to take his life, and he sprang in unto them. And do you know what happened? He didn't ask Paul for a discourse on all of this. He said, because of the conviction in his heart and in his soul, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was convicted of his sins. And when he heard that rejoicing, he heard that praise, he knew that there was a reality to it, that these men had something that he didn't have. And Paul answered him the best answer you can give to someone that seeking God: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's all you have to tell an individual. And my friend, God honored that little sermon, and that man was saved, but not only him, but also his household. Now, my point is, what if Paul had an attitude about, "Come on, Silas, break out of here"? That man may have never heard the gospel. That man may have never heard an opportunity. You see, Paul saw it not as a burden. He saw it as an opportunity to share the Lord with this man. And so we find today that whenever that Paul sets forth an example to us, and even Christ Jesus, how many times did he thank the Father? He thanked the Father. The Lord did. You know, our attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving is proportional to our altitude. How high that we can go. And I'm not talking about a high like the world talks about, or a big elation over the fact that, wow, you know, I just inherited some land in Aruba, you know, whatever that place is. No, it wasn't that. But it's our walk with God. I want to tell you the greatest high that there is to be able to feel the presence of God. You sit down with a Bible. You ask God to reveal it to you. And I want to tell you something. He'll honor His Word and He'll teach you. You know, after all the study that I do, there's times whenever that, Lord, I don't understand this. Can you help me? And He does. Why, goodness sakes, why wouldn't He? Because He's the author of it. He wrote it. Of course He will help you with it. But my friend, the point is today that when we have that gratitude that comes from the heart today, my friend, it'll take us further and further and further and further in our walk with the Lord. And I want to tell you, what Paul said about absent from the body at home with the Lord. And he began to talk about how that I knew a man one time that was caught up into the third heaven. You remember that verse of scripture? He said, I heard things, or this man heard things unlawful. In other words, not meant for mortal to understand in the presence of Almighty God. There are times whenever that the world just disappears, and I don't care what Putin's doing. I don't care what's going on in the world, the conflicts and everything. I'm in the presence of Almighty God. Have you ever felt that presence of Almighty God? Oh my land, I want to tell you something. It's precious. And there have been times whenever that even a song, or even a prayer that somebody prays, or a verse of scripture. I remember one time during Easter, whenever that I was coming back from, driving back from a revival, and I was playing with the radio, which I shouldn't have been doing. But anyway, I was playing with the radio, and you know, all of a sudden, they began to play, because of the season, the Hallelujah Chorus. And I'd heard it thousands of times. I've heard it all the time. Heard it just multiple times. But God used that, and it got a hold of me. And people, as God is my witness, I had to pull over to the side. And I don't know what people thought they were witnessing when they saw me. But I got down on my face on the side of the road. And I gave honor and glory unto God, King of kings and Lord of lords, not temporarily, but forever and forever and forever. One day we're going to sing something like that. One day we're going to sing it through all of eternity. I'm thankful for that today, aren't you? I'm thankful for the fact He redeemed me. He saved me. I'm thankful for the fact that He helps me to be grateful unto Him and thankful unto Him. I don't always follow it. I miss a blessing, but I bring this before you today so that you won't miss a blessing and that you won't miss being in His presence. How do we attain to this, and how do we keep it? We try to keep an attitude of gratitude. You know, I believe today, first of all, that it's prayer. I believe there's no such thing as praying too much. My favorite garment is khaki pants. And I inherited that from my father. He wore khaki pants no matter what. My mom would throw them away. She'd go and figure out where they were at, and he'd put them back on. And you could look in my closet, and you could see that there's more khaki pants than there are shirts to match them. And I've noticed some of them missing. Notice some of them missing. But anyway, in our gratitude unto God and how far that it takes us, there is no such thing. To me, there's no such thing as having too many khaki pants. That used to be my motto. But you know, in this, there's no such thing as praying too much. No. He said to pray without ceasing. Even into the subconscious, an ongoing conversation with Almighty God. He said, giving thanks daily unto Him for what He has done. Morning and evening, thanking Him for the beginning of a day, thanking Him for an end of the day. You know, whenever that we give thanksgiving, it leads to true bona fide praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm thankful and I'm grateful to God that in it, He changes my outlook. Man, I used to be so opinionated. I'd see something on TV and sure enough, Shirley would be like this, but she knew that something was going to come out of my mouth judging somebody on TV. I try not to do that anymore. I try to look at them like that song. They may be in need of salvation. They may need to be saved. They may need to meet up with Jesus. And I pray that they do. And so we find today that our altitude that we achieve and that we attain unto in walking with God, in communing with Him, in fellowship with Him today, and feeling His presence, feasting upon His Word, it's proportionally, directly proportionally, to how close that we'll get to God and how close that we'll walk with Him. I want to close with this hymn or this verse of Scripture found over in Isaiah chapter 40 and in the 31st verse. He said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Strength is in the Lord today. They shall renew their strength. They shall take up upon eagle's wings. Nothing more majestic than an eagle, but boy, to ride on one, to be lifted up. God lifts us up above the world and all the insanity of it today. To lift us up above all of that on eagle's wings. They shall run and not grow weary. They'll outdistance the very best marathon runner. But it's not a physical marathon. It's a spiritual marathon. And the reward is at the end of the race and of the journey. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God. So as we close our few remarks today, you know, today I hope and I pray that your thanksgiving, that somewhere in the day that you come before God and in gratitude, in thanksgiving unto Him for salvation, that's the greatest gift of all to be grateful for. The fact that He redeemed us, my friend, that would be first on the list. Family, if you have family. And if you don't, companionship and friends out in the world that you know and that you meet with and you see day by day. Thank God for them today. And then thank God that things are as well with you as they're supposed to be.